Buongiorno, everyone. Welcome back to the Magpie Channel TV. Welcome to the Magpie Channel podcast, episode 12. Casey's a laughing, a coughing, a doing something.
It's a bit of both, sorry.
A bit of both. How are we doing, Kay?
Hang on, I need a drink.
You're going to drink that one through. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm absolutely fine because I am tasting the brand new Hoppenheimer. Have a look at that. Hoppenheimer there. The old Cillian Murphy.
Don't drink and drive.
Delicious. Absolutely delicious, that one. So we're going to enjoy that. What are you on this week?
Currently, I am on the Citra Star, a classic of the Anarchy Brew Co.
It is.
A long-term server. Mm-hmm. Vegan-friendly.
There you go.
In case there's any vegans out there, we're accommodating to everybody tonight.
We've got loads to get through on this podcast. Shout out to everyone that's tuned in live and, of course, listening back on Spotify, Google. Everywhere you get your podcasts, you can find the Magpie Channel. Hopefully you can hear us all right. The new mics are in action for the
testing,
second week.
Testing.
We're sealed on this week. Full musees. So let's see how we get on. Evening, Aaron. Evening, Ian. Good to see the regulars in the chat as usual. Good evening, Andrew, Jackie.
Keganator.
And Kevin as well from Lakeland, Florida.
Ooh.
So let's start off then with the news that broke a couple of hours ago.
We always start on the good news.
Kind of a theme, this.
It is. This podcast is a little bit of a curse.
Well, the whole season is.
Cursed, yeah. Long before we started this.
Long before.
12 weeks ago.
Don't want anyone put the blame at my door.
It was fucked long before these 12 weeks.
long time ago. But the news is, if you haven't seen it, you probably have by now, is that Joe Willock is out for the rest of the season.
Not too much of a surprise, to be honest.
Not at all. No.
Obviously, there's only 6 games left, so anyone picking up an injury at this point in the season maybe is expected to be out for the rest of the season. But yeah, Willock, he's just had a bad year, hasn't he? Just been one of them years that he'd like to put in the back of his mind. Hopefully the back of his health as well. Hopefully he comes back next year, a new player, new person.
New man, Chris Brown.
It is what it is, isn't it? It's just been like that all season for Newcastle, not just Willock. Like, yes, he's had his own personal problems staying healthy, but for the club, it's just been an absolute shit show. So what's one more to be out for the rest of the season? Just join the list, Joseph.
That was my reaction when I saw it, you know.
Yeah. It's the medical room's full. You're not on your own.
It's just the point now where it's just like, there we go.
I know that one for the season, isn't it? All right, no worries.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's not all doom and gloom, because obviously we'll touch on the great win on the weekend, but
good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's one of them, isn't it, where you just think, it's another one, it's another injury. Oh, it's obviously more so trying to prevent, which we probably should have done all season, the injury happening again or extending, because they did say that he could actually play on. He could play through it. But the best thing for his Achilles is to rest it, recover it, so he's ready to go full speed.
Probably the
pre-season.
First smart thing they've done all season.
Exactly. At least we're learning from lessons. Yeah. It took 9 months. Oh, yeah.
Now, no one else would force Willock to play, start the next 6 games, then rupture his Achilles, last game of the season, and get on until January. So, yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, just get him rested. Get him back ready for the new season. It doesn't matter. Okay, the 6 games left. Like, yes, there's still a lot to play for. Thankfully, other than Man United and potentially Brighton, the rest of the season should be relatively smooth sailing, like, with the rest of the opposition. Like, Tottenham was probably the hardest game, and
exactly.
You smashed that one.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and anyone who's picking up these injuries, as long as there's replacements, obviously, that's the reason why Longstaff's played nearly every game this season. No one finding well, he's got 2 broken feet. But he thinks he can play, and Eddie Howe's happy for him to play, so he's pretty much had to play because of Willock and because of Joe Linton and because of Tonali. Like, that's me and anyone else.
This is the thing. I was watching that Joe Linton Day in the Life video. I finally got a chance to watch
that
after it came out on the weekend, and you know, he was looking good at the end of that video. You know, he's training, he's with the ball now as well, him and Miggy, so
good.
Hopefully he returns soon, because like you said, there isn't many other numbers. There
really isn't.
So, what I will say is that it softens the blow with how well Elliot Anderson's been playing.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
because he's been top notch since he came into me. Like, top notch.
Is there any update on Miley, when he can expect to be back in the squad yet?
Well, what was it? He was given like 6 weeks out, wasn't he? And then when was that?
Pretty
2-3 weeks ago.
The season, so he might get couple of games, maybe.
I tell you what, we've talked about it already, and I'm sure we will again over the next few weeks. But that 6th decider, the final Old Trafford,
not Wednesday night. Last week,
and that could be the moment where you see everyone come back, and what time that'll be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if your Maileys, your Jolintons, your Wilsons, your Pope's back for that one.
Because we always looked at maybe it's the last couple of games of the season, but now we've got one squeezed in just before the end of the season, so that now could be like 3 games. Obviously, this game was expected to be, was it Man United this weekend, was it?
It was this weekend, but they got through the semi-final of the FA Cup, so
Now gives us 2 weeks rest, so maybe he's the one's closer to fitness, like Trippier, maybe. I'm not too sure how long he is. So
yeah, he was in the change room at the weekend.
Yeah, this 2 weeks off could be great for us in getting people like Trippier, who's close to fitness, one step further back. But yeah, them that were expected to be the last game or two now could have two or three games under their belt by the end of the season. So yeah, good things.
Would be nice. Aaron's saying we need a major investigation, because the way we've managed our injuries this season isn't good enough. Well, it may as well have been on the suspended with Tonali, which is about right.
We've spoke about that, like obviously Botman being the main one, but like Longstaff, like should Longstaff be playing? Like he's only playing because there's no one else, because everyone else has been out. We know Isaac's played through injuries a couple of times this season. Who else has that been? Like we're not loads of people are playing through injuries. It's just been. It's probably been one of the worst seasons. Like
the worst.
Like I think we've said it a few times over the past few weeks that Newcastle is cursed. Like way back to our days when we were kids. Like I don't know if it's the training facilities or it's the fucking ancient burial ground that's built on, but Newcastle's always had bad luck with injuries for as far back as I can remember. It's not just this season, but this,
Johnny Woodgate.
Kieran Dyer, Michael Owen, like way back in the 90s. Yeah. Well, like, it just feels like this probably has got to be the worst season that I can remember. Worst. Like, just for the amount of injuries, the extent of the injuries, like, all at one time and all. Like last season, like, was pretty smooth sailing. I had the odd one or two. Like, Isaac was out for a Kenny Well. Wilson was out for a Kenny Well. The end of the season, we had Willock, Longstaff. But not in, like, such a burst. Mm. Like, he didn't have, like, four, five, six players out at one time and for so long as well.
I know, because what I was good at with the Spurs game was that I haven't been able to see that from three all season.
Nah.
You see how well Bowman's Gordon is that we're doing together, man. That was amazing. You just think, where would we be if we could have had those fit? Because you look at now and people are saying, I reckon we can still take over Spurs by the end of the season. What, we're 10 points off. They've got horrible fixtures.
Yeah.
You said we've got, favourable ones. So you never know. There'll be a big ask, but you never know. But if we had those players fit throughout the season, man, we'd be where they're on now.
How could the squad could look like the bench if you had like Wilson and Miggy and a couple of others like fit and available? Like, could have been so much better. But yeah, like now, like probably this is the front three that we always wanted to see. Like at the beginning of the season, like it didn't work initially because we were trying to figure out where to put Barnes. Like obviously Gordon was worth starting left winger, and that's Barnes' best position, and I still think it is. Like as good as he looked. As good as he'd be on the right, like I still feel like he gets a little bit lost. I think he's not as comfortable on the right as he is on the left, so maybe he is a slight weak link and we still need to improve there. But regardless, like they're by far our three best players. Like my two best wingers are Gordon and Barnes, whichever side the player, left or right, doesn't really matter. And obviously Isaac up front, up top. So wherever the play, yeah, that's got to be our front three for hopefully the rest of the season. Knock on wood, because you never know.
Chris Wood. Right, do you reckon that's actually possible? Like what Giazash is asking there, we could take over Spurs by end of season. 10 points, what, 6 games to go? Mm. They've got Arsenal, City. They've got hard games, because George was telling me that after. He was like, we thought this was a game today where we looked at to get points for that battle for fourth. We've obviously got decent fixtures.
Yeah.
At the finale, I think it's probably just one or two more games.
Yeah.
More than needed, I think, for me. Like, but
it's definitely a big ask, but If the wheels come off for Spurs, which they did after playing us last season.
Van de Ven keeps slipping out of the joint.
Absolutely. I think they were in pretty bad form before our 6-1 last season. But I think after our smacking, like that just absolutely nailed the coffin at the ground for them. They were absolutely hopeless. And like, they've got hard fixtures. Yes, they'll want to come back because they'll want to solidify at least fifth and try and get fourth. But look at our fixtures and look at our fixtures. It's 10 points. I'm not going to say that we will, but crazier things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
6 games. So what's that? 18 points?
Right.
We only need to beat 10 points if they've got hard games and play like they do. That's the end.
I think overtaking Manchester United in 6 now is unbelievable considering the crisis we've had this year. So imagine if we could pip Spurs as well.
They would have some players come back in the last 2-3 games. And like Man United, that's got to be the biggest one.
There's 9 points.
Brighton.
Once the boys come back.
Brentford isn't going to be an easy game. They've had a bit of a poor year, but you know they're not a terrible team away from our home anyway. Never know.
Never know. We'll type AGT Cop TV in the comments. The big sausage that he is. Mm-hmm. Need to perform an exorcist on that training ground. It's cursed, says Aaron. Buongiorno, John. He was at a match next to me on Saturday. Nice one. Need Yuri Geller to perform some mumbo jumbo voodoo shite. Favorite comment of the podcast show for that one, Ian. Thanks very much.
Geary Geller. You can tell the age of Ian. He didn't go through like a David Blaine or a Dynamo. He's gone
part
of like
OG.
He went
for
OG.
He's not messing around.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not messing around. Gmail Alt, thanks for being a member. I can definitely see us getting top six, but I can see us dropping points unexpectedly. So I think fifth is very unlikely. Do you know what it is? We've got AGT there, Liverpool fan. When you look at runs, you think you can't really predict it, can you? Because neither of us saw them getting beat off Palace. Not many people would have saw Arsenal getting beat off Villa. They would have looked at those fixtures and thought, oh, Villa at home, Arsenal, I would beat them, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've got Spurs. Liverpool would think, oh, Palace, well, that's 3 points in the bag. They haven't lost at Anfield in ages. So when we look at it, smash Spurs, we've got Palace a week on Wednesday. That's not going to be an easy game, but that's one we'd think, oh, okay, at least something like that. You just never know, do you? We've got bloody Sheffield. It's Newcastle United. You can play Sheffield and get a 2-2 draw, but then beat Spurs 4-0. That's the kind of shit we do.
Also, last season in Liverpool, like, Liverpool were never our top four rivals, like, all season long. We're looking at, like, Man United, like, how can we get in top four? Like, who's in and around we're? Like, what's the best route to get top four? Liverpool were never in the conversation because they started so badly. But you see the run they went on, I think they won their last 12 games in a row or something. Then right before the end of the season, we're thinking, fucking hell, Liverpool's right behind us. Yeah, like, that's the kind of thing that can happen. Like, runs can happen. Like, City. Like, City weren't top of the league until the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, then absolutely ran riot with it and could potentially be the same this season. So this is the business end of the season. That's why they call it the business end of the season. Like, people have shit to do this time of the season. Like, people look at where they realistically can finish, like, your first 6, 10, 12 games. Didn't really mean now. You can't really predict where people are going. Even Christmas time, like, you start to get a feel of it. But it's up now where there's 18 points still available, right? Who's in front of where are we going to finish? Like, what's what aim here? Let's crack on and do it. So.
Yeah. And because, as someone just mentioned in the chat there, John, it's not looking good for the Prem getting fifth place Champions League anymore. Always the case all season, but everyone's flopping. You know, Liverpool, AGT, getting knocked out by Atlanta, unless they have a big comeback.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't rule that out.
If someone's going to do it, it's probably them, isn't it?
City aren't losing.
Arsenal, are they going to get knocked out by Bayern Munich? And then there's loads of permutations still to go to decide who gets what in the league.
I don't even know the fucking rules anymore. Football changes that often. Like, what's the rule now? Because they changed away goals, didn't they?
Aye, so it's just note.
It's just the aggregate score. So if it's a tie after the aggregate score, it's go to extra time chance.
So I shouldn't have got rid of the
Everyone whinged about the away goal rule, and I wasn't really that big of a fan of it. But when it's gone, it's like...
kills the entertainment.
Like, yeah, that's not really to play for. Like, because them games, like Real Madrid, City, aye, Arsenal, Bayern, like, unbelievable
aye,
games.
Neck and neck,
bunch
though,
of goals, so neck and neck. But like I say, like, one team's chasing something, even though it's aye, a draw. One team's got an advantage going to the second leg, and now it's, it does kind of, like, I wasn't a fan of it, but now it's gone. It's like, actually, it did kind of spice things up a little bit.
It did, massively, because tomorrow for Arsenal at the Allianz Arena, it would force them to really go for it a bit more, because there'd be two goals away with goals to Bayern Munich. So, we'll wait and see. There's loads of twists and turns left of who's going to get what place in terms of European, because as it stands at the minute with the FA Cup, we obviously need Man City win the FA Cup, because six at the minute, we might not get a Europa League, maybe Conference League, because of who gets the FA Cup. So there's loads of roundabout ways.
So it's even harder to predict. Like I say, like, football does change so often. Like, it always used to just be top four get Champions League, five and six get your Europa League, seventh gets your Conference League, at least in the last 2 years that it's existed anyway. But now it's like, some people need to win the FA Cup, some people need to do well in Europe. It's like,
the mad thing was is that at one point last week they were saying that eighth could have got Europa League because if West Ham went through. If West Ham won the Europa League, then they would get this. There's so many different things. But they got beat 2-0.
I'll just say what people tell we were competing in.
Can we just
season
figure it out on
at the end
last
of the season?
Season,
we'll finish sixth, fifth. Just someone just tell us where we're playing next season, please.
As long as it's any form of Europa. guess how old Ian is? You asked the question, he's answered it.
46.
Oh, he was so close. 45.
Oh, I told you. Close. I was going to say Ian's definitely used to in his 40s going with but even say again, Yuri Geller.
He's talking about Yuri Geller here. Now he moved the ball off the pen spot at 96 against Scotland. That's what Yuri Geller's claiming.
He's tapped him.
what else we got then before we, because there's loads of good comments in tonight, to be fair. Like,
give them coming. Love it.
Coming.
Love it.
Yeah, England are currently third in the Champions League spot. I think it's behind Italy and Germany, isn't it, Matty? Big up Stevie for drinking out the trophy. We enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
that
was cool.
Enjoyed it as well.
Loved it. Oh, it was cleaned out.
Right then, let's get into the topics. Yeah, we've talked about Willick. Let's talk about that Spurs game. 4-0. I watched it back again the day, watched the match come back, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. Right. Fantastic, man. Like,
unreal.
What a win that was. Blew them out of the water. And all credit to Eddie Howe for me, because the game plan down to a T.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That switching from the three to the four at the back, the five, mixing things up. Going for man was the most impressive thing.
Yeah.
Man for man on them, just going for it, man. Like, Spurs play suicide football, though, with that high line, but took advantage of it. Like I said, we would Isaac Gordon field day with that pace. And everyone's been bigging up Van de Ven all season. Not when he comes up against the main man, Alexander Isak.
All credit's got to go to Newcastle, and I will shortly, but first of all, like, just how shit were Spurs? Like, second year in a row, like, I don't know if they're cursed coming to St. James Park because they've been shite 2 years in a row.
Happening again. But,
last season, like, we absolutely punished them because of the high line. And I know it's different management, different coaching staff, and a few new players, but surely, like, they could see what was going to happen. Like, we punished them last year because of that high line. Even some Tottenham fans said that. I think, I don't know who I've seen, it might have been expressions, like, said, like, Tottenham can't play that high line against anyone with a half-decent front three, which Newcastle have. And, like,
don't know why the mic went off there, people. Sorry.
They should have seen exactly what our front three done to them last year. Even we've got a couple of new players like Barnes, and I even think Gordon started that game because he kind of struggled towards the back end of last season, didn't he? But it's pretty much the same shit. Like, you cannot play a high line with a decent front three, and Newcastle and Eddie Howe team are going to press the shit out of you. So you fell into it, and like, they were awful. Like, I feel like we could have scored more. I feel like we were as good as, maybe if not better than, the team that scored six last year.
I think so.
I think Isaac could have had four. I think Gordon could have had a couple. One or two. I think Burn missed a sitter. Like, could have easily scored six or seven. No worries.
Aye.
But, so, yeah, Spurs were shit and got punished and absolutely deserved. All credit to Eddie Howe and Newcastle for doing what they did. Because we're absolutely hell with them.
It just me. In because someone said the audio went, so hopefully we're back now. That would only come.
The settings, just make sure the mics are working.
1-2-1-2. That's the default mic, that, though, isn't it? That's not there.
Oh.
Or is it? I don't know. Looks all right. That would know the mics are working all right. Seems all right, doesn't it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Technical issues. It's all going so well.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? I feel like I'm searching for people on the Titanic.
Sounds better, someone says there. So hopefully we're back up running.
Champion.
Oh, it was the dodgy cables, not the internet there. No, mate, we're back.
Anyway.
Back in the game.
So yeah, basically saying that Spurs were shite, got punished and absolutely deserved to. But yeah, all credit to Newcastle for just doing their job. Let's say, could have scored more. Could have scored six, seven. Could have had four, five for Isaac. A couple more for Gordon, Kraft at the post, Burn missed the sitter, could have absolutely ran right with it, but we kept a clean sheet, which is something that we didn't do against them last
season. Didn't expect that, like, didn't see that coming.
With a shit-looking back four on paper, and all to be fair.
On paper.
I was like, oh, nah. Like, I was going to predict that, no, like, people that will follow me on Twitter know that I put, like, a lineup prediction up on Twitter, like, on a Friday. I didn't put one up this week, because I thought I'm just going to get pelters, but I actually predicted that starting 11. It was just the back line that I thought, I kind of post that because people are just going to comment and be like, that's shite, I better not play that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're right, it's awful. Then when it actually came out, I was like, oh my days, I should have just posted it anyway. But yeah, that was absolutely shocking.
Shocking it was, but it wasn't when you seen it come to fruition, like, because
yeah.
It was mad, you know, playing wingers at right back, Murphy at right back. Kraft as a centre back.
That's why I didn't
want to
post the lineup prediction because I was
Burns back at left back.
So shit. I was hoping that it wouldn't be. But it is what it is.
Definitely wasn't. And they did have a lot of credit though. And again, that goes for Eddie Howe because he says he'd rather focus on the players he's got and drill that into them rather than whinging or complaining about the players that he's got missing and being like, oh, well, these players aren't capable of that.
Yeah.
They were capable of it.
Yeah.
That shows the sign of a great manager and they get the philosophy and the style of play because no matter who comes in, if it's Kraft or whoever, they know the rules.
That's why like I've always kind of backed Eddie Howe, even through like the dark times, like when things haven't been well, people have been slagging the club off, blah, blah, blah. Eddie Howe, some of the players, you know, we need to sell this player, that player, especially like Emil Kraft. Like, you know, I've been an Emil Kraft defender since day one.
My guy, Kraft defense league.
Yeah, C-D-L.
KDL.
obviously seeing him play centre back, it's a bit of a worry, and especially the way that he performed against West Ham, it wasn't great, but everyone that Eddie Howe's ever had at this club's got better. I think the only player that probably regressed or didn't play as well under Eddie Howe was probably Arnse Maksman. I think he was better playing for Steve Bruce, funnily enough, like as mad as that is to say, but everybody else, even go back to like Mankiw, like the rare occasion that Mankiw played under Eddie Howe looked really, really good. And Kraft obviously came in for Kieran Trippier once he got injured. I think Trippier only played like 5-6 games or something after he signed, didn't he? Then he was out for nearly the rest of the season, and Kraft was sensational.
He was.
But people like forget about Kraft, and they slag him off. He has one bad game. It's like, I'll sell him. He's shit. He's not good enough. Blah blah blah. And we're done our predictions for next season. Keep buy, sell, loan, whatever. And like, Kraft's fine. Like, I think anyone that plays for Eddie Howe, like even he's had a bit of a stick in the last couple of days, but Dumouth even like against City and United at the beginning of the season.
Exactly.
Kraft and Dumouth at the back. Absolutely unreal.
Really?
Anyone that Eddie Howe plays and trusts is good enough for me. Like, Eddie Howe and Nazi shit, and I trust him 100%.
Yeah.
Whoever he puts in that starting 11, Murphy at right back, Kraft centre back, Dumouth centre back, I couldn't give a shit. Burn left back, he's the most un-left back left back I've ever seen in my life.
But he was good again, huh?
But yeah, last season he helped get to the Champions League. Like, beginning of the season, he started at left back and against PSG. Dembele didn't out against him. Like, it's mad.
Never thought you'd see that in the second season. Burn Denari against Dembele. He's captain Burn at the minute, though. Yeah. I think that's giving him an extra edge, that me? Like, when that captain's on, man, he said he's so proud to do it. He's like, I know I'm not the captain, but if the other lads want to sit out for a little bit longer, I'll keep being captain. Because he absolutely loves it, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean?
He's one of them. He's one of the jollies that, you know, you'll fight and die for the club, and that's just the way that Dan Burn is. And obviously, a few months and weeks ago, he was having his stick, and deservedly so, because he was a bit shit. but he's one of them players that, you know, you'll do whatever it takes for this club. Like,
whatever it takes.
And giving them the captain's armband, it's probably giving them the little bit of extra edge, a little bit of extra pride playing in front of St. James's Park with the captain's armband on.
I think so. And one final mention has to go towards the goal scorer who started it all again. He's called Iza.
Nice goal.
Every time I was in the Gallagher, the opposite end, and as soon as he got that ball, I was just like, he's going to take on these two, three players, and he's going to score. And he did it, and I was just, it was a big celebration, but it was like,
well,
it's probably bad that I'm like, that I'm getting that expected levels now.
You reckon?
I say getting that expected levels now, that every time he goes through on goal, I'm just like, this is a goal.
Yeah,
this is finished. This is got it. Back on it. Waiting for the net.
There is like a little bit of cockiness that he is just that good.
You've
just got every trust in him, and like, I can't remember the last time that we've really had that faith. Like, obviously Wilson scored goals in the past and whatnot, but since Shearer, like, someone gets a chance, sometimes you're thinking, ooh, he's got a bit of work to do here, especially if there's two or three players in front of him. Then you're like, he's got a hell of a lot of work to do. But when it's Isaac, you're just thinking, Gamford, take him on. Like, he's got that ability.
Is he world class for you?
He's borderline. I don't really like using that term because I think people branch it around way too easily. A lot of people are called world class when they're not. So I wouldn't put him in that category yet. But what is he, 23 years old? And like,
24, I think now.
24, maybe. Like he's been that kind of player that's had a lot of potential for a long, long time.
FIFA and all that.
Even back to like Dortmund, when he was at Dortmund and to the Sweden national team. Everyone's been aware of his potential, and we weren't the only ones that were in for him when he was playing at Real Sociedad. A lot of the big teams in the world wanted him. and rightfully so. Everyone knew the qualities that he could possess at still such a young age. Maybe he's needed a little bit of time, but now he's doing it in the best league in the world. What, 17 goals this season, one off Wilson's record last season. He had 18, which was the best Premier League record probably since Shearer.
Right.
2004 or something. Like, first, he's got 21 goals in all competitions. First Newcastle striker to score 20 plus goals in a season since Shearer, 2004. So, yeah, I think he's touching on world class. I'm reluctant to put him in that bracket yet because it's a term that's brandished around too easily, but he's sensational.
He is
nonetheless. He's absolutely unbelievable. I did see someone put on Twitter, actually. I think Kendall shared it and gave them a little bit of stick. I think an Arsenal fan, like, they've got their sights on some striker. I can't remember who it is. Probably someone that's far too good for Arsenal. But after that game, said, like, oh, I don't want such and such. Like, I'd rather spend $65 million on Isaac.
Right. That's how much we paid, by the way.
63. Is that like the first installment or something? And then the next 65 over the next 2 years or something like that? Like, what are you on about? Like,
is that for the left leg or the right leg? 3 tools.
If we sell him in the next 2-3 years, and God forbid we do, because I don't
God
want to
do a Premier League team,
it's obvious, we're gonna obviously make profit. Like, there's no way in hell we're gonna offer anywhere between 60-70 million. Mm. Like, triple figures. Easily. He is that good.
Easy.
And only sort of world-class players will go for 100 plus million. Well, that's debatable, because I don't know if you would put Grealish and Rice and Caicedo in that bracket. So that's just kind
definitely
of,
not Caicedo.
That's just kind of the market these days. Like, people go,
oh, Grealish.
Yeah.
Rice will get there, I think.
I think the price tags are getting a little bit too extensive these days. But I think he's getting there. It's such a young age, still more to go. And hasn't even been fit this season, as we just mentioned. He's had a couple of spells on the sideline this season. Mm-hmm. And the first Newcastle player since 2004, well, apart from Wilson last year, but score 17 goals in the Premier League season, 21 in all competitions. Like, and he's been injured. He hasn't even played the majority of games. His goal-to-game ratio must be sensational.
He's got the most goals per minute in the Premier League this year.
Yeah.
Because you've got to think as well, all the injuries around him.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't been had fully fit players around him for the most of the time.
He's been unfit. Like, when Wilson last got injured, he was just coming back off injury. And you know,
you
he was
tell for four or five games
he was terrible. He was playing injured.
Energy levels.
Yeah, then that fitness just came and poof. So, yeah, like, he's played injured. He's played unfit. He's been injured. He's been on the sidelines and still got this goal record. He's absolutely unbelievable.
He's also one goal away from becoming the most prolific Swedish striker in one Premier League season.
Yes, Ibrahimovic wasn't it?
He's level now. Level 17 goals is Zlatan. Mm-hmm. So if he gets one more, he'll be officially the best Swedish striker in Premier League history. That's official. It's not mine. I'm not seeing it. Facts.
Facts.
Cold hard facts.
To be fair,
Henrik Larsson, he was out for Man U for 6 months. Didn't he? 3 months.
3 months. And Ibrahimovic only really had 1 year. I think he was there for two.
He was still class. Injured for his second. Now. Was he 36 or something?
I think he was about 36. His first year he was class. Second year he was injured a lot. And like, so, I think that was the other same with Lukaku. Who was good in his first year and Shankly second. But other than that, like, yeah. I can't remember how many other good Swedish strikers the Premier League's had. Paulberg and Melberg and people like that. But in terms of strikers.
All the Bergs.
Nice Bergs. Tekaks. But yeah, in terms of strikers, Ibrahimovic is probably still up there, even though he only had one good year. But Isaac's just the boy. He'll be the boy for Sweden for some time to come, yeah.
And that stat there that Whitby Chris is saying, Gordon and Barnes and Isaac a goal every 17 minutes when they are playing. Wow. Madness. Madness stat there.
That was a really good stat.
That shows how much we've missed them and where we could be without them, as we touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He is on 17. Haaland's pushed up a little bit there now. Trying to take hands on the tail, because that may be knocking the wires, I think. So Haaland's on 20 after he scored the other day. So he's actually only 3 behind. Could he get the golden boot?
In this form, he can push it.
But Sheffield United at home. That's 5 goals. And I mean, do a Shearer.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before about City's end of season form last season. And I think they'll be gunning for the Premier League again this year. If Haaland can get... Haaland's been in and out of form this year. And it's mad because he's still the leading goal scorer with 20 goals. But what did he score last season? Like 35 or something like that? Like, it's been a bit of a shit year for him, although he's still the top goal scorer in the league. Cole Palmer, he's tied now. He's got 20. He's tied top goal scorer in the league. I would have thought that would come. But he's in unbelievable form, Cole Palmer. So maybe he's the one that you need to look for, not Haaland. But there's people in between Isaac in the golden boots. And yeah, he needs to stay in this form and capitalize, maybe is the word, against Sheffield's and your Burnleys and whoever else we've got coming up, Crystal Palace, right? If he can stay in this form and bang goes in, then he can get there. He can be touching base with them too.
Base.
But who knows?
Who knows? Let us know what you think. I think you can do it. Like, when you look at our fixtures, the only problem is with Man City now, top of the league, going for it. You mentioned Palmer's form. They're trying to chase us down as well, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard for him. But he's definitely within a shout when it's only 3 goals. Just needs a little hat-trick.
Maybe it's 4.
Yeah. Like I said, Sheffield United's the game.
Yeah.
Got Burnley away as well.
Cole Palmer.
Double hat-tricks.
Fight people off on the penalties.
This is an interesting topic then to get into now. And let us know in the chat as well. Put this out on social media to get a good feel of how the Toon Army...
Oh, yes. I didn't have a look at the comments.
There was loads of good ones, to be fair. Breaking news as well. You've seen before. Botman's having a baby.
Oh, yes. Congratulations, Sven and Mrs.
Congratulations, Sven and his Mrs.
Mrs. Sven.
I tell you what, never mind that training ground being cursed.
They were not always injured.
That's wrong, isn't it? Because everyone's absolutely piling the kids. Like, oh,
they wonder.
Popping out kids left, right, and center, every single one of them. He's only 22 or something, aren't he?
So, 22, 23, something
early
like that.
Early 20s, popping out the bends already. Enjoy yourself.
Joe Linton and Bruno love popping out kids.
The Brazilians are always on that. Now, bottom
in the water.
Bottom's getting on there, eye. Something in the old power raid at the training ground, I reckon. Like. But as I was saying, what I want to talk about is Fabian Shaw. The best bargain ever. So we're talking about Newcastle United and the Premier League. I put this out. We've got loads of replies on Instagram and Twitter. We'll go through the Twitter one first. They're pretty similar, to be fair. So obviously Fabian Shaw signed for just £3 million quite a few years ago now. He scored at the weekend. Was it 5 goals he's got now this season? Not bad for a centre-back.
Yeah. Two he scored against Villa.
Was it Villa? Imagine being happy for a centre-back. So for £3 million and for how long he's been doing it now, especially at the start when we were terrible and Bruce and that and Rafa, like a lower league, lower table side in that bottom half. So you've got Shaw at £3 million. Some other mentions here is Robley. Loads of people are saying Robley. Loads. But he came for a bit of money though, didn't he, in terms of back then? Wasn't Robley like a few million and back in the 90s?
I was going to say, that's the kind of thing that you've got to look at is the value based on kind of when it was.
Exactly.
Because, back in the 90s, I think, I don't know the exact value. I think it was around about £3 million for Warren Barton. And at the time, he was a British record for a defender. So I didn't know if you would call that a bargain or not. Obviously, he's a club legend, possibly up there with Trippier. Maybe he's the second best right back that the club's ever had. So is that a bargain? Because at the time it was a club record, but
but it was £500,000 in like the early 90s, wasn't it?
95, whenever Robley was signed. I don't know. Probably.
So Daz has put £500,000, but we'll just double check that, Daz. I'm not saying I don't believe you.
Yeah, but Shaw was £3 million in 2018.
£700,000 he was. Well, so, both wrong.
So you think
92. Nearly £1 million in 92.
Yeah, you're looking back at it now.
That would be about 25 million or something. Easy. Probably more.
Yeah. So, obviously that is a bargain looking at it now. At the time, it would have been a decent amount. Probably not loads, but it's still a fair amount. But you're talking 2018. It was 6 years ago. Yes, inflation's improved a lot since then. Like, talking about 2018, like the people that we just mentioned, Grealish's, Rice's, Caicedo's, would that have been before Neymar? So potentially Gareth Bale might have still been the world record fee or something at that time. I don't know. But regardless, £3 million 2024 or 2018, it's still a bargain.
Bargain.
And for what he's done with this club, he had a bit of a sticky patch, just like everyone else did under Steve Bruce.
We were saying, "Oh, get rid of him," because he was playing fucking thingy.
But he was player of the season.
Kieran Clark
first, yeah, yeah.
When Shaw was dropped for Rafa. Kieran Clark and that, Jesus.
I think Rafa found him playing for Deportivo. But Yeah, he was player of the year in his first year. Like fan voted, or it was player voted, I'm not sure, but I'm sure he won player of the year in the 18-19 season, his first season, which was Rafa's last season. And then the 2-3 years after that, he was dog shit. Just because of Steve Bruce, really. Like, he was really, really poor. I think post-COVID, like that back end of the season, 19-20, he was shit. But look at where he's come from. Post Eddie Howe. Eddie Howe's been here for about two and a half years now. Or... You know what it is? He's been here for around about the
October 2021, wasn't it?
You know what it is? Howe's been here for a little bit longer than what Steve Bruce was.
Wow. Did they show that time flies and having fun? Because Bruce now wasn't having any fun.
Because Bruce was only here for two full seasons and a bit. He was fired in the October.
Oh, I felt like he was here for 10 years.
Yeah, like literally. Like that's why I've just brought up that point, because I feel like Steve Bruce was here forever. But Eddie Howe's actually been here longer than what Bruce was. That is insane to think about. But yeah, and the work, because yeah, the likes of Shaw and Joe Linton and a number of people were shit under Steve Bruce. But for the last 2.5 years that Eddie Howe's been here, Shaw's been fantastic. And you look back at the transfer fee only 6 years ago, it was a bargain then, and it's looking like a bigger bargain now for the player that he is. Like what he's done for the club, how good he's been consistently. The value is just absolutely incredible. One fantastic bit of business that Mike Ashley did, but
Rafa.
Oh, it's more Rafa's business than Mike Ashley's, because he was on a shoestring budget, had no money to spend, probably seen a decent player play for Deportivo, thought, oh, I need a centre back, I've got 3 million, he'll do.
Because to be fair, you know, Rafa, it's funny with Rafa, because some fans either still love him, and when the takeover happened, they're like, oh, bring him back, give him some money, be quality. And some fans are like, ah, nah, he was born, he was native. There's probably some truth in both, and you probably beat down the middle. But when you look at some of the signings he made, and some were great, Matt Sells, even though now he's at Forest and not doing that bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, Shaw for 3 million. Rondon on loan, and Rondon was like Rondon crap. But for us, he was amazing. Do you know what I mean?
He was at a rate for West Brom, but yeah.
His goals gone right, or like doubled at least, though, at Newcastle.
I think about nearly 18 a season or something.
Hossley wasn't given the time, do you know what I mean? Because he's at Madrid now. Real Madrid packing them in.
Yeah, could have had all the time he
wanted. But it's a funny one, isn't it? But the other mentions was Shea Given, legend, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Found the channel. 2.5 million in 97. That is a bargain, to be fair. Saints sold him to City for 7 million, to be fair, in 2009, so that's a bargain. Did for them, I know.
Fucking hell. How old would he have been then? He would have been in his 30s then, so that's a kind of, that's really not a bad sell.
Went on to win it quite a bit. Demba Ba was good on a free, shame he didn't stick around for longer.
Is he free, was he?
Joe Linton for 40 million, absolute steal.
Well, it is now.
Goodbye, 4.5 million would be up there for me.
Four and a half.
How much was Ben Arthur? Oh, I don't know. No one mentioned Ben Arthur, actually.
That'd be an interesting one.
Have a look. Let our people. Ben Arthur. Anyone for Ben Arthur? Going once, going twice. You know, there is mentions for these loan signings like Demba Ba, like Remy and that, but, you know, they're free or alone. But then Adam, like, they jumped ship quickly as well. And not long enough. We're talking about Shaw, it's been, what, 5 years now? 6 years?
6 years,
So, you know, longevity.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a West Ham fan in here, because obviously we didn't say it was just Newcastle United, it was also Premier League. They're saying Dimitri Payet for 10 million and Paulo Di Canio for 1.7 million.
Ooh, 1.7, that's a good one, to be fair. That would have been 90, so that would have been okay money. It wouldn't have been a ton, but for how good Di Canio was for West Ham, that's a really good value, that, to be fair.
It's not a fancy name, but it's an absolute bargain, because you can't. You're talking peanuts for Fabian Schär at 3 million. I don't know what this is, then. It's half a pistachio nut. Seamus Coleman for 60 grand. 60 grand?
What kind of pistachio has he been buying?
Little. All these days. Out of date as well.
That's
reduced.
Mad, that. Like,
60 grand.
Not even 600 grand.
Like, he's been their club captain for years.
Yeah.
International.
That's good value.
60 grand, man. That's amazing.
Another
man,
one that I don't know has been brought up, and this is a signing from, I think, about 1990, maybe 1991.
Then if it was a free goal, nice. So I kind of got wrong with the free. Anything's a bargain for free, that's really.
But yeah, about 1990, I think. Maybe it's 1991. Probably the greatest goalkeeper in Premier League history. He was signed for, I think, around about 500 grand.
Who's that?
Peter Schmeichel.
Where's he where from?
I think some Dutch league, maybe, Norwegian team or something. Bromby or something like that. So I've got no idea. But that was value for, obviously, what he won with Man United and his... history. I'm sure he's a Hall of Famer, Premier League Hall of Famer.
Solskjaer as well, to be fair, when he was cheap as chips.
It was a bargain. But Peter Schmeichel is got to be one of the Premier League all-time bargains.
Well, I like that one there from Shamrock Bowls, Henrik Larsson. The sell like $250,000.
Wow.
Kevin Nolan for $4 million. $150,000 for Beardsley. Well, quite a few people talking about Peter Beardsley as well.
Beardsley, man. Was that first time? Or no, it would have been second time because he was academy only.
We're signing him from like Vancouver or something like that, didn't we? Honourable mentions have to go out, obviously, Leicester City.
Yeah, Kante, Mahrez,
Vardy. Mahrez, for what was it? He was about $700,000 as well, wasn't he?
Less than a million.
Sold them to City for like 45 million. Yeah. So I may mean 60, man. Yeah, so that's crazy. Someone mentions Iosé Perez, very good show. $100,000 for him, wasn't it?
A million, I think. 1.5.
1.5 million, and then sold them. Good profit turnover, wasn't it?
Yeah, stung Leicester there. We just mentioned Leicester had some bargains. That's not one of them. We pulled their pants down and their eyeballs there. Like, that was fucking horrible.
Oh, yes, we did. Nobby Solano, good mention for the Peruvian there.
Yeah, so much to say.
Good question. They didn't put that, unfortunately, but we'll quickly find out for you. Solano, probably 2 million or something like that.
That would have been 97, 98, 98?
No, like 2000, I think. Or 99?
He played in the 99 season, I think. Did he not play in the FA Cup final?
Oh, I probably did.
So, yeah, it would have been 2008, maybe. 1998, sorry.
49 now, Norberto Solano. Feeling old. So let's have a look at this. Newcastle signed him for $4 million in 98.
$4 million. Not bad.
And obviously he came back as well. Oh, the second spell. Oh, no. Yeah, second spell, 05, 06, 2.25 million. After he went to Villa. So not bad for Nobby. Robertson, obviously at Liverpool, $8 million. That's a steal. From Hull.
I thought that was a shit signing out, to be fair.
I turned up. Because he
got relegated from Hull, didn't he? And I just didn't really see much in him. Because I was thinking, like,
Brucey turned him down, didn't he?
I was like, why did they sign him?
Nah.
Like, he's just been relegated. Like, it's Liverpool. Are you taking the piss? Might even have Paul Konchesky there. I was thinking, he's never going to get Chuck Konchesky's place, is he?
He's Nate Tronchesky.
He's Nate Paul Konchesky. I'm like,
obviously, Liverpool as well for about $8 million. Philip Coutinho. What a signing that was. And made a massive profit on him.
That is a big one, to be fair. $8 million for Coutinho. Like, Coutinho was class.
And then selling him for what, 135? That was a world record at one time, wasn't it? Philip Albert, 2.6. Just one in the chat there.
That's the thing in all.
Dortmund, $4 million.
Hang on, just go back to Albert for a second there. What did you say? 2.6.
Yeah.
So that was way back in the 90s. That was 95.
Inflation.
He was signed in 95 for 2.6. And how long was he at the club for? He wasn't that long. He was only about 3 years or something, maybe. And we're talking about Fabian Schär. This is why we're talking about it. Fabian Schär was signed for $3 million in 2018.
Exactly.
And he's been here for 6 years later, and he's still one of our best players.
Right.
So that just goes to tell you how good of a signing Schär is. Like, he pisses out of Philippe Albert for me.
No, definitely.
So he's been here twice as long. He's about the same signing, about nearly 20 years later.
Which in football in terms as well is like times 50 in the transfer fee.
Yeah.
Because of how much the 3 million for Albert was in the 90s, that would be... That's the equivalent money. Of the now saying Botman, really.
That's 30 odd million. Decent money back then,
eh? It's like, you think how much football's went up now, because in that same era, signing Shearer for a world record 15... Mm. It nowadays, that would be Shearer, like Kane's went to Bayern for 90.
You are literally talking 23 years later, between about 95 when Albert would have signed and 2018 when Schär would have signed. 23 years later, and Schär cost $400,000 more. And he's been here for twice as long. Schär's fucking head and shoulders above Philippe Albert for me. Like.
In his stage as well, and still scoring 5 goals a season in a team that's struggled this year. You know, it's mad, man.
Yeah.
Company for $6 million, very good shout from Joshua there.
That is, to be fair.
Just to be fair, captain for what, 10 years or something.
Won Champions League, didn't win the Champions League, to be fair, but won lots of Premier Leagues.
Like, on the way.
Yeah, that's an incredible sign, to be fair.
It is. So if you had to pick that decision then, Fabian Schär, first words, focus on Newcastle. Is he the best bargain ever? At the tune,
he's definitely up there. Like, there's been some very, very honourable mentions mentioned, but yeah, I think about the year that he was signed, 2018, for £3 million, what he's done to the club, 6 years of service and a good few more to come, you can't really get much better than that. Like, I think we've mentioned some players that have cost more, that they've done well, like Kev Nolan for $4 million, good.
Kabai
for $4 million was pretty good, to be fair. But yeah, I think what we've getting out of Shaw for the last 6 years is just absolutely incredible business for $3 million.
I agree. And when you put it, like we just have there in terms of inflation and what the transfer fee would be, and still doing it this day 6 years later, I've got a back Fabian Shaw as well.
Someone just said Shearer.
Yeah.
Shearer's the best bargain end of, I think, one comment up there was.
Little Dean.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you $2 million. Wow.
For Arsenal, is he?
Well, no, that's four, but must be.
Gotta be, eh? But Shearer was a world record fee.
Yeah, remember. So, the most expensive player on the planet.
Yes, it was worth every penny for us.
Turned out to be a bargain.
The 10 years that he signed, but you've got to not forget that that was a world record fee. Not just a club record, British record, world record. We're talking Neymar money. So, yeah.
Mbappe.
It was a bargain, but I wouldn't put Shearer in that category, to be honest.
So I'll agree with Shaw. In terms of the Premier League, honestly, when you look at Coleman for £60,000, that's literally like 10 pence.
That's like
mad. That's
less than 100 grand.
I know. They kind of get nothing. Nobody even goes up.
And for what he's done for the club, he's captained them for 10 years. Like, he's been there forever. So, like, that money's crazy. I wonder how that negotiation came about.
I know.
Like,
they must be kicking themselves.
Because he came from Ireland, didn't he?
Shamrock Rovers,
McGregor FC. But he must have been young and all, because he's been
15 years.
So that's maybe why. He was like an Irish league player, probably only about 17, 18. Like, they might not have thought he's going to be that good.
They were a scout of the game.
Our Premier League team, once you are, go and get yourself over to the Premier League, see what you can do over there. Sonny, you're better than playing here.
They probably seen him. Yeah, he would have popped up on Sky Sports News and they would have thought.
For a pair of trainers or something.
Coleman, 60k. Who the fuck is that guy? And he's been the captain for so long. Like, mental. I would think him, and then it's a toss up between him and I look at Candy's on the best ever, do it for me, and Mahrez as well for Pepper, a few grand. Like, any one of those Leicester ones have already for $1 million, and then he's still there now.
But Leicester fans slagged that off at the time, because I'm sure they were like League One at the time, maybe, and he was playing for Fleetwood. Non-league.
Aye.
So £1 million to a non-league team for a League One team, that's mad money. And that would have been early 2010s, wouldn't it be? It would be in like late 2000s, wouldn't it? Because maybe it's 2009 or something. Like, that would have been a big transfer fee at the time. They wouldn't have lost, the fans were pissed off. But it was every penny spent well and truly there. What he's done for the club, bloody hell. That is a bargain looking back on this. But at the time, like, I can understand why Leicester fans were being pissed off. $5 million for Kante might have seemed like a decent amount for him at the time, because he kind of came from nowhere. No one had ever heard of him. Not $5 million for him. This 4'2" dwarf from the second league French team.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
It's not even league.
that was to seem like a mad transfer. And then until you start the same player, it's like, hey, maybe worth $5 million.
It's pretty good. And then the profit as well, isn't it?
All right.
So we'll move on from that topic now. We've got a few more still, and we're still going strong. 48 minutes in. Now you 200 people watching. Please do smash that like and subscribe. If you listen back on audio, thanks very much on Spotify and that. Leave a nice little 5-star review. Got to give a shout out to the women's team. Obviously, you can check it out on the vlog if you haven't seen it already. There's a video out from Sunday's 10-0 win over Huddersfield, which is saw the lasses get back-to-back promotions.
Yep.
Unbelievable achievement. Well done, Becky and the girls. And just a quick roundup on that.
Yeah, the women's championship now, the league below the WSL.
Getting there. Women's Champions League's coming.
Good on them, yeah. Buzzing. Class for them. And it's just what the owners have said they were going to do. Like, when they took over the club, they obviously didn't just want to develop the men's team. Amanda Staley said from day one, they want to develop in the women as well. Mm-hmm. And they made them professional, because the league they were playing was like fourth tier or something when they took over.
Like, paying for their own kits and everything.
They weren't even connected to the club. They were working like independently. They were just had the Newcastle name, but weren't directly affiliated with Newcastle United.
They're all bloody at union doing full-time jobs and everything.
So now they've been like under the same roof as Newcastle United. They're officially a Newcastle United brand.
Train every day.
Yeah, and now they're obviously professional. They're getting played, and now they're in the second tier. They've gone from the fourth tier to the second tier, one below the WSL. So absolutely incredible achievement. So well done to the owners for sticking to your word there. Like, they're pretty much going through with everything they've said in most of their mission statements when they took over. And the women are a fine example of what they said that they were going to do, and it's coming true.
Stevie wants to have a Prosecco at the Champions League next. You finally win a trophy, boys. I should be having more off that one.
Hopefully, carry on in that.
Tell you what I want to see next is obviously Stevie on the pitch with the men and getting the trophy and having a nice sort of shot.
It's coming. Don't worry about that.
Let's hope so. That'll be the day. Another news. We are shafting Mike Ashley. The tables have turned.
Oh,
Mike. Nice, that, isn't it?
Yes. Feels kind of good.
What goes around comes around, Mike.
Yeah. How's that taste, Mike?
I eat them like them apples, do you, Mike? Of course you don't. You don't eat apples, do you, if I can. But you
used to chocolate apples.
Dunky apples, aye. Toffee dunky apples for Mike Ashley. But no kiss for Mike Ashley because Newcastle United won that court case battle where they are not allowing Sports Direct to sell the new Adidas kits in their stores from next season. The new kit is coming out on June the 7th, the home one. And we have got an exclusive deal with JD Sports. So you'll only be able to buy the new Adidas kits at the club store, obviously, in St. James Park, in the Merit Centre, etc. Apparently they're building another one as well. They've got two coming for the City Centre.
Nice.
And then they've got JD. And I think, obviously, on Adidas's website, you'll be able to buy the kit as well. But you won't be able to get it at Shite Direct. Good news, isn't it? Eh?
Yeah.
Fuck Ashley, man, it's good news.
Yeah, no, it is. We touched on it briefly last week. And I think it's just kind of mad that Sports Direct is one of the big, like, high street chains.
It's everywhere. It's like Greggs.
Yeah, it really is. It's like the sporting version of Greggs.
But we like Greggs.
But if you want your kits, like, it's everywhere. They're on, like little town high streets and all. Like there's one in Ashington and, like,
retail
like,
parks, Silver Lake.
Yeah, mad
everywhere.
Little places where you don't really have them kind of things. Like, they are like a plague, like just absolutely everywhere. But you want a tune top, you can't get it if you live like in Northumberland or whatever, like you live near Ashington. It's easy just to pop the Sports Direct instead
of popping
all the
way through
town, like people. But yeah, like I'm more than happy to shaft Mike Ashley all day, every day.
Karma.
But yeah, I think just not having it in Sports Direct is a little bit crazy and maybe he's a little bit a step too far and he's shafting. Although if I thought shafting Mike Ashley too far, I would have said that 2 years ago. I'd have said shaft me.
Yeah, couldn't shaft him enough.
Yeah, you couldn't Infinite shaft shafting. Mike Ashley enough. But I just feel like taking Newcastle shirts out of Sports Direct is a little bit weird. But
a bit shithouse, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's brought a shithouse. Like really? I'm for it. But I
think Tyndall's behind this. To be honest with you, like, this was Tyndall's idea, wasn't it, Jason?
Maybe.
Crampton's got JD Sports, his dad, so there you go, that's good for them. But so is the Silver, to be fair, like my nation, haven't they? So there's plenty of JDs as well,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, I'm trying to get your tune, just can't get them online or something, yeah, whatever. Sorry, I'm trying to get your tune top.
But I think, obviously, the thing around this as well is, obviously, you've seen Bournemouth have got a sleeve sponsored by JD, or they used to at least.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe, obviously, that's another little avenue of financial fair play, just to cheat the system a little bit, you know, another little exclusive sponsor on the back of the advertising boards at the press conference, an extra few million a year.
Not a bad idea.
You know what I mean? It's not a bad idea at all, selling the rights to them, really, and not seeing... And nowadays, a little GD circle at the stadium instead of a massive fucking blue and pink Sports Direct. Blue and red everywhere, but then the red...
Nice little black circle. Black and white circle.
Not the worst. Not the worst, but...
Hey, them Sports Direct Saints.
They were grim times, yeah.
That was one of the bigger things about the takeover that I was looking forward to. Like I said it for years before the takeover, I was like, I can't wait just to get rid of this bloody. Sometimes I'd be at a game, like obviously because the football was shite back then. Sometimes I'd just be looking around, just thinking,
counting them.
I wonder if I can count them, but I'd be here all day.
9 minutes.
The referee puts on 9 minutes of stoppage time. Like, I need a few more minutes. take a bit more on.
Staying after.
I've only got in 99,446. Like, oh, yeah.
It was so unnecessary how many signs there was. Like,
so many.
You couldn't have just had like one or two signs. It was every block.
Even the big ones on the side, those three big ones on the side, is that not enough? Everyone can see that. It's on the top of the fucking stadium. Remember even the big flag? There was a big flag on the gallery.
On the top of the roof.
Yeah.
On top of the roof, just for the drones. Helicopters and everything. God almighty. I remember the East Stand back in the day, they used to have on the East Stand, Chronicle, Metro Radio, fucking JD or whatever. And then when actually everything was Sports Direct,
yeah,
300 signs in a row. Could he not made more money, not just selling them to like the odd person?
Oh, no. The thing with Mike Ashley, like obviously he's such a good businessman, like earning all the millions, billions that he has in his career. But for me, he's just so
thick. Like, imagine where he could have been if he's actually
the sponsorship deals could have been so much better. Like you say, instead of just having Sports Direct or what's his other thing? Flannels. Just having Sports Direct and Flannels as the club's main sponsors. You couldn't just branch out, or you couldn't have just like had the club try and get into the top 10, because each position in the Premier League gains you some money. Mm. You couldn't just thought, like, are you just quite happy to be 16th, 17th every season, are you? Like, why don't you try and finish like 12th or something?
Why don't you try and even get a Conference League and then Sports Direct will be shown in bloody Slovenia all around Europe?
Spend a little bit of money, mate. We're good enough to get, we're like 7th in Europa League or something, because it might have been like back then, I can't remember, but TV money for Europe, like putting your brand to international television, like
being on TNT Sports every Wednesday.
A little bit more money, like honestly, I don't understand him. He's such a good businessman to have made nothing from himself to be a billionaire, but he's just so thick enough.
No.
Just don't get it. And I suppose this not selling Toontops in Sports Direct is like a massive shaft. Like it is kind of funny.
It's nice.
I kind of respect that he took with the court, but failed.
He tried. He failed. I suppose the thing about obviously it. Around the stadium. The Sports Direct, it was free advertisement for him, money, but at the same time, half it. You could have half the Sports Direct and then, like I said, spread it out with someone else, make a bit of money off someone else. I remember though, when you said when the takeover happened, that's what I thought, because remember when Eddie Howe got paraded on the pitch with Guendouzi and Stevely and they posed in the paper, she like cut out the Sports Direct signs because they were still there either side of the East Stand, and it just looks so much better now. And we're desperate for it. And I remember when someone leaked the image on Twitter. Of them taking down the sign next to the Leasers, and everyone's just gone mental. I've never seen someone get so happy about taking it.
It was such a big thing. Like it sounds so insignificant now, but it was a huge thing at the time. Like it boiled my piss for years.
Expressions was winding me up before the game, and he was saying like, "Oh, Sports Direct, they've seen that." I was like, "No,
not anymore,
not anymore." That was two years ago, mate. Like, how I thought of it.
Even the club was the Blue Sports Direct Arena.
Oh, see what I mean?
Sports Direct. We're just Sports Direct.
He just hears every shot and he gets.
Yeah.
All right then. That was JDFC. Nice. I will have the JD Arena. Big money, I'll bet. Next up, yesterday, some strong transfer rumours.
Oh, yes.
You got saying his number one target this summer, Morgan Gibbs-White from Nottingham Forest now. Big fee branded about for him, though. There's talk of 60 million, maybe 40, 50 million. Definitely be north of 40 million for me because he's English, he's versatile.
But that's about what they spent as well. Like exactly, they spent big bags on.
So we're talking, are we being naive there? Like, people are with Isak?
Oh, 100%.
Because if I'm seeing 40, 50, but there'll be Forest fans watching thinking, oh, we pay that money, he's worth 80.
No, it probably is the exact same situation as the Isak situation. Like, I thought Forest were absolutely insane and probably why they've had a points deduction. But Gibbs White was young with a lot of potential at Wolves, and I thought he was a decent player. But when I found out they were selling at the Forest for, I think it was 40, maybe 45 million, huge. Like I was thinking, what in the inflation is going on here? Like, that is just mad money for a kid that's probably only played half a dozen Premier League games. Like, I don't even know how much he played at Wolves. Like, I don't know how good he was at Wolves. Like, I know he was this prospect, but for that much money, I was thinking, yees are insane. Like, you deserve your points deduction.
He
has been class.
So they spent on Wood, I suppose. Like.
And he has been class, and they're not going to sell him for less. They're not going to take a hit on him. They're going to want to make profit. So I can't remember what it was. It was either 40 or 45. I'm not sure, but they'll want at least 60.
Oh, at least
that. Yeah, they're not going to move off 60 million.
60 plus add-ons might do it because they need the cash. That's what's going to work in our favour because of FFP.
Yeah.
They need to make profits, don't they? So if you can get him. Listen, it's a lot of money, obviously, but when you look at it, the English tax and what I really like about Morgan Gibbs-White, and Eddie Howe loves this, he says it all the time about players that can do dual roles, so multiple positions. Gibbs-White can do that. You could see him play on the right wing for us. You could see him play
as a 10.
That's
what I was thinking, like, where, because we've got a lot of players who could play in a 10, but we don't really play with a 10.
So that's like, why the James Madison thing never came.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because, I think 10's probably his best position and for the under-21s. He played like as a striker with Gordon, which makes no fucking sense because neither one was a striker.
But we won the tournament. That's what we'll do next year.
But I don't know where he would fit because, we don't play with a 10.
No.
So, he'd have to play on a wing. And is he a good winger? If you're going to spunk 60 million on him, you're going to want him to fit with your system.
You want him to be ready there, yeah. Pre-season going it, whereas you probably need time on the training ground, work it out.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like him as a player.
He's a top player.
He's a top, top player, but if we're going to try and play him out of position or force him to play a position, like, I'd rather spend 60 million on someone who can't play the position and doesn't need time to develop it.
So. And who's ready to slot in.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a tricky one because I do get excited by Gary Sway. He's Premier League proven now.
Yeah, yeah. He's still young now. He's still young. 22 or something.
Obviously, I'm out on a 21 Euros. Mm. But he's got everything to give for me. He's got so much more. I think Eddie Howe would obviously get the best development. Look what he's done with Gordon.
Even maybe he's like a centre mid.
Massive.
Like in sort of like an attacking. If you play like centre mid as one of the three, but sort of like a more pushing one.
And that six sort of thing,
I think six is a big priority for me. I think that could work if you played the six with, say, Gibbs White and Bruno. The dynamic could work because they're three different types of players instead of having like three similar ones. Like, so yeah, if you had him as a centre mid but had him just push on and play like sort of like a false 10, if you like, then maybe that could work. But I don't know. I'm not so sure where he would fit best.
I think when he does leave and he goes somewhere else, I think we'll see the best of him then, and I think you'll probably look and be like, we wish I'd signed him. Because when you said Forrest signed him for Moors, it was a bit, a leap of faith type thing. It's worked out a treat because he's easily worth that much money.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was an insane price tag for a relatively unproven player with a lot of potential. But, kind of credit the Forrest for spending this. Like, credit sort of where it's due because you're getting points deduction for spending mad money. Mm. But, yeah, it's paid off for them. And obviously, that. Probably going to have to sell him because of our financial troubles.
Definitely. Especially if we get relegated. Strong possibility.
If not this year, then maybe it's next year. Like, they're going to have to sort of, like, recoup in some of that money because they did overly spend. Like, they spent, like, 24 signings or something in the summer that they came up or something. Like,
at least. Insane. At least, aye.
They're going to have to sell him sooner or later. Sooner the better, I suppose. And if another Premier League or other foreign team, top-tier team, comes along and wants them for 60 million and they're not really in a position to haggle too much. Like, you can't say, I want 80. Like, you get fucking 60 and make do with it.
Exactly. I think they're going to have to really take that. Like, that's what I mentioned.
And even so, it's still about £20 million of profit.
Right. Exactly. Which is good for FFP. Mm-hmm. But Morgan Gibbs-White, this was from the Mirror, I think it was. And for me, I don't believe that it's our number one transfer target. Because it's not a priority position.
Because of his position, like you say, he's best as a number 10, which we don't play, and we've got other needs. So, I don't believe that. I think that's just media shite, to be honest with you. Like, right wing, number 6, left back, backup options at centre-back and striker.
Keeper.
I think... potentially keeper, something, yeah. Backup. Maybe starting centre-backs, let alone backup centre-backs, but...
We need one starting centre-back.
The starter and a backup, yeah.
So I'd be in favour of it, but it all depends on what else we do because, just says that. I think the priority
also depends
elsewhere.
On phase if the FFP rules change. Like, that's been confirmed yet, so we could be in the same position. Like, make him our Tonali. In the summer, we've got a £100 million budget, and we spunk £60 million of it on Gibbs White, and we're back square one. Like, we haven't covered any of the positions that we need.
This is what we'll do. This is exactly what we'll do because that's what we did last year. Fibre, Lewis, Hall, fullbacks. Not even get a game.
Wait, we're gonna have to pay £28 million on Holt.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's coming out.
That's been confirmed.
So I would love to see Gibbs White in Newcastle shirt. I think he's a top talent, but I'm just not sure if it's a priority, if you like. But
I think you'd be
great to watch seeing James, him, Gordon, playing balls through to Isaac as well. Be exciting.
Big thing.
Last one to touch on is Lloyd Kelly, who seems set to sign for Newcastle United. We are the favourites to get him his signature. He's recently turned down a contract extension at Bournemouth, so he wants the move. We are battling off competitors from all over Europe, apparently, especially even like Spurs and that. So Lloyd Kelly... on a free from Bournemouth. Obviously, Eddie Howe will know him well. He's a left-back, can play centre-back as well, so that works perfectly the problems that we're going to have with the injuries to Botman and Lascelles. So, Lloyd Kelly to Newcastle, are you saying yes? Are you saying no?
I'm saying yes because it's free.
Wrong.
He's coming out of contract, so yeah. And
next big bargain, next show.
He fills potentially two voids there. Like, I don't know what his best position is, if he's a left back or a centre back. Like, he's kind of like
left back mainly.
It's kind of like the opposite of Dan Byrne. Like Dan Burns, a centre back who can play left back, and Lloyd Kelly's a left back who can't play centre back.
You know, he does. Kelly again looks a bit more like a centre back. Nice, no, quite tall.
Yeah, that's
he's got
what
a great cross on him. Yeah. Good cross on him, though.
So yeah, I would take it because, as I just said, we need depth at centre back. So if he's going to come in and be a number two centre back, or I don't know, is he starting at left back? Does he come in and be a number one from day one? Or, I think he's good enough.
I want Lewis Hall to be.
I think he's good enough and young enough as option, as we say. We need backup. We need strength and depth. Like, I think people get too carried away talking about starting 11s. Like, oh, would you sign him? Oh no, because he's not better than blah blah blah. But you need a deep squad,
aye,
especially if we're going to play in the Europa League. Like, we've had this problem this season. My squad hasn't been good enough, or deep enough, at least, anyway. Both strength and depth. We haven't had neither of them, really.
Exactly.
So we need to beef up the squad with better players. Another left-back/centre-back is Paul Dummett.
Dum-dum.
Who's coming out of contract. Is he better than Paul Dummett? Of course he fucking is.
Yes, he is.
Is he an upgrade on Dummett? Yes.
Matt Ritchie.
Potentially, well, obviously, Burner's a left-back.
Target's forever injured now.
Right? You know. So I think he's an upgrade on a lot of the players that we've got. Is he starting 11 quality? Maybe. Times to be proven. Like, he's still quite, I think he's about 24 or something.
I see.
He's
that's what
young,
I mean.
So,
still got a lot of time.
Yeah, and especially on a free deal that's not going to cost a ton in FFP damage. Yeah, absolutely. Get him in. And they say the familiarity with Eddie Howe's a big thing, you know. Like, Eddie Howe wouldn't bring in someone who he either doesn't like or doesn't think can fit his system. So, yeah, all the thumbs up.
You beat us to it with what I was going to say with the Dummett thing. So I was going to propose this to everyone where, you know, a lot of people talk about getting rid of the Deadwood. The same players have been here for so many years. You know, your Dummetts, your Haydens, your Richies. And then you get given a Premier League proven player.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got some good years ahead of him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was versatile,
mm-hmm,
on a free, and people are like, nah, come on.
Literally, come on. Why not?
Nah. He's called Lloyd, and he's from Bournemouth. Not having it.
Unless you're going to put him on a 300 grand a week contract or something. Like, what have you got to complain about?
I think,
like,
it's mad because
the negatives.
Now, this is the perfect scenario of getting rid of Deadwood and not battering your FFP.
I think familiarity is a big thing, you know. Like, he knows Eddie Howe, and mm-hmm, Eddie Howe knows him. And
it's not even a risk.
You wouldn't bring him in just to think, oh, well, should we just get him, should we?
Remember
Lloyd from fucking 2012.
Aye, Lloyd's a good lad, isn't he? Nice lad, Lloyd.
Like, Eddie Howe wouldn't do that. So if Eddie Howe wants him and he's free, fills a void, why not?
It's risk-free, and it gets rid of a Dummett and bring in a Kelly. It's an upgrade. He's a young guy.
Big upgrade, yeah.
It makes sense for me. His wages probably wouldn't be that much because Josh from Philly there is asking what do you think his wages would be. I have no idea what he's on at Bournemouth.
No,
it's not going to be astronomical, is it?
Yeah, like, you wouldn't want to bring him in if he's going to demand like 80 grand. Like, I don't think
which when players are free, they try and take
the yeah, out, that's what I was thinking. Like, sometimes, like, because he can kind of balance out the books a little bit. Like,
non-fee.
Who did Fraser? Brian Fraser was on a massive wage because we've got
7 grand or something, 75 grand.
So, sometimes that can't play out. So, if he's going to be if we're going to be putting him on like a 80 grand a week contract, then I'd probably say no, depending on what his potential could be. Like, if he's going to become a starter and someone who's going to be worth selling in a few years' time for 40, 50 million, then fucking give him whatever contract he wants. But right now, yeah, you offer him, I don't know, 50, 60 at most.
Yeah, that'll do the deal, I think.
Yeah.
Jay said he watched him against Man United. He looked like a Howe player. Neat, tidy, physical, bags of desire. Kelly's on 30 grand a week at Bournemouth. There you go, you can have 40 grand.
Yeah.
That's a 10 grand increase.
Put him anywhere between 40 to 60.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't pay any more than 60, though.
Wilfred and Didi, get him signed. I think he's on a free from Leicester.
Is he?
Didi.
Yes, indeed. Yes, get him in. To be fair, isn't
he? Send the death.
He's like a number six, isn't he? Is he a number six?
I would used to be, yeah. He's all right. I think we've got, when everyone's fit, we've got enough midfielders, haven't we? Longstaff, Maley, Willick, Anderson.
But if he's going to be that number six, then yeah. But if I'd rather maybe pay money for someone good instead of
next level
just
one.
Picking up free agents.
Does he really improve you that much?
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's not the end of the world.
I wouldn't be upset if I signed him. I wouldn't be like, oh, what the fuck was I signing for? He's Sheffield. Yeah. It's strength and depth number, yeah.
What about Mbeumo?
Mbeumo,
great player.
I like him, yeah.
Versatile. That's at any house, Hayden.
Because he front can three. Be a strike goal winger.
I play across the front three, scores goals.
Casey,
right? I like Mbeumo.
I don't like Cheney's name.
I don't know why I have to say that, like, but I like
I would never not say it any other way.
All right, that would be the way it is.
It's like Nduweni.
Yeah, but Nduweni's on the way, aren't
he? I'm good about that.
I tell you what, that'll do for this week's podcast. There's been loads of good comments, loads of good topics, particularly the Newcastle United bargain one I enjoyed. Make sure you get your comments coming in. Once you have watched it, if you're watching this back and you haven't watched it live, shout out to everyone that has watched it live and is listening on Spotify, Google, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
Just want to give a quick shout out to the Newcastle Vikings, by the way.
I was just about to tell you.
Stop. First home game on Sunday at Druid Park. So get yourselves down there. Just being promoted to the top tier of British American football. So come support the boys, another Northeast team doing well for themselves.
Love to see it.
So yeah, get yourselves down there. £4 it is on Eventbrite. Get yourselves to the social media pages and get yourselves down there. That's it. Good crack. Me and Rent, you'll be there.
You'll be there. Yeah. You'll be there.
So come down, see the boys, support another Northeast team.
Exactly. Drop them a follow on socials and stuff. And then why not get involved in a new, different sport? Eh?
Exactly.
Why not? Because there's no Newcastle United game this weekend.
No, exactly.
Now, football. Yeah. So have a look at that instead. Right then, just watching everyone. Thank you again, Anarchy Brewery, for having us here live. You can scan the QR code. Treat yourself to some more beer on the Hoppenheimer or whatever else you want. Link is in the description as well. Subscribe to my channel TV. Enjoy. Yes.